Well, go ahead and turn in your Bible, if you will, over to Genesis 3. We're going to start there. We're also going to read some passages from Genesis 12, but close by. So Genesis 3 is where we'll start in just a few minutes. And so this morning we embark on part two of our sermon series that we started last week, God's Glory Among the Nations. And if you remember, this is a study that I have gone through, or that I'm going through and have gone through, going back through, through the IMB website. It's a class, that a course that you can all take. It's free. It's something that our missionaries go through in their preparation to go onto the mission field. And most of what will come out of these sermons are just the things that the Lord has taught me and how He's spoken into my life. It's just the overflow of going through this study. And so last week we talked in great detail about what the glory of God is, and when the Bible speaks of the glory of God in the Old Testament, and when He speaks of the glory of God in the New Testament, literally the Bible is speaking of the weight and the splendor and the brilliance and the preeminence and the majesty of God. All those things kind of coming together is what we're talking about. And listen, the glory of God is something that's hard to understand. It's hard to define, you know, and one day we'll understand fully the glory of God when we're in heaven. We look forward to that day, but until then, we do our best. And so, but when we talk about the glory of God, it's the weight, the splendor, the brilliance, the preeminence, and majesty of God. And we know that all Scripture points to the glory of God. From the glory of God that He had before the world was even created, to the glory that He'll receive for all eternity from every tribe and nation and tongue, as the Bible talks about. And so this morning we kind of shift gears, and we shift from what is the glory of God to focusing on what is the mission of God. That's the main thing that we want to focus on today as we think about what God's glory is among the nations. What is the mission of God? The IMB website states that the mission of God is this. The mission of God is God's plan to display His glory among the nations by redeeming a people from every nation, tribe, people, and language, transforming them increasingly into the image of Jesus Christ, unifying them into one body through the church, and empowering them by the Holy Spirit to be gospel witnesses. That is the mission of God. Basically, to give glory to God, to give glory to God among the nations. As we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so, that is God's mission through us. So this is indeed God's plan. We know it to be God's plan, but it was not God's original plan to bring about His mission. And so what I want us to do today is to see how all of this comes full circle, looking at what God's original plan, how that was messed up, and what He did about it, and how His original plan is back in motion today. And this really focuses in, guys, on the gospel. We see the full gospel coming forth through this full circle of God's glory and God's plan and God's mission, okay? So let's talk first about what God's original plan was. That's the first thing we want to focus on today. God's original plan. Go ahead and go to that next slide there, if you will. The Bible says that God originally created everything and everyone to worship and glorify Him. The Bible is very clear about that. Revelation 4:11 says, Our Lord and God, You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because, notice, You have created all things, and because of Your will, they exist and were created. And so everything and everyone was created to worship and glorify God. Colossians 1:16 mirrors this statement. Paul said, "For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." So we were all created by God to worship and glorify Him. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we're not going to read it, but it speaks of our creation by God. The Bible says, "Then God said, remember, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." He said, they will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And so we know that God delights in his creation. He delights in those he creates. And he can delight in his creation because it gives him glory. And he delights in it because of what Genesis 1:31 tells us. When God looked over everything that he'd made, he considered it, what? Very good, right? Very good. Now, guys, this doesn't mean that we've been created by God for the sole purpose to amuse him or entertain him. We're not his performers, if you will. He didn't create us because he was lonely. He didn't create us because he needed a friend. And the fact that we've been made in his image does not, I'm in capital letters there, does not mean that we are his equal. A lot of people that want to say that today in society that, you know, we are our own God, we make our own way, we're equal with God somehow. But God, the fact that God created us in his likeness does not mean that we are his equal. But here's the bottom line. Our God is a creative God. Amen? And guys, it gives him great pleasure to create things. It gives him great pleasure to create. I mean, the fact that we were created in the image of God, it shows that we are a special part of God's creation. And it shows us that he has a desire to be in relationship with us. Because that was his very purpose from the beginning. I'm going to create people, things to be in relationship with me for my glory and honor. It shows us his desire to be in relationship with him. And this is our purpose. And this was God's original plan. In other words, guys, here's the thing that I want you to take from this. It brings him glory for us to be in a relationship with him. It brings God glory. Putting the spotlight on him, helping him people understand his magnificence and his preeminence and his weight and all the other things, his splendor that we've talked about, what the glory of God is. It gives him glory. It gives him all these things, majesty, splendor, preeminence, all these things when we are in relationship with him. That's what most glorifies him. But there's a problem, right? Here's the problem. Man has sinned and was separated from the glory of God. We refer to this as the fall of man, right? Or just the fall, if you will. And this is where we're going to get into some of the scripture. We know from the story of creation that God gave Adam and Eve everything in the garden to enjoy except the fruit of that one tree, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them that if they ate the fruit from that tree, what would happen? They would die. Let's read about it. Look at verses 1 through 7 of chapter 3. Let's read it together. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. No. You will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. So here we see the beginning of the fall. And let me just say, just as much Adam's fault as Eve, okay? They're both at fault there. But the fall of man was caused by Adam's sin. And sin, guys, we understand what sin is. Sometimes we say it's missing the mark. But basically, sin is any human behavior or word or thought that is contrary to the perfection of God. And so because of Adam's sin, in this moment, because of Adam's sin, because of Eve's sin, what happened? Well, let's skip ahead to verse 14 and read over to 19. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Then he said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children in anguish. Your desire will be for your husband, and yet he will rule over you." And he said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to that dust." So what was the result of the fall? God did exactly what he said he would do. It brought about death. God placed a curse upon the world. He placed a curse on the people and the animals and the plants and the very ground. It brought death into the world. And Paul reminds us of this in Romans 6:23 when he said, "For the wages of sin is death." The salary that we receive for the sinfulness of ourselves is that we die. So God placed a curse upon the world. And according to Genesis, if you read further, and we're not going to, but you can read it later, according to Genesis 3, 23 and 24, after the fall of man, what did God do? He drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. He placed a cherubim to guard the entrance. They were forced to find their own food and shelter. And Adam had to work hard to exist and provide for his family, while Eve had to suffer in childbirth. And so, guys, as we read the story of the fall, the story of Adam and Eve, the fall of Adam and Eve, is significant because here's the thing. It didn't just have consequences for them. It brought consequences for all of mankind. So when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam and Eve became a slave to sin, we all became slaves to sin. This is why Paul wrote in Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. In this way, death spread to all men because all have sinned." Guys, this means that we're all guilty. We're all guilty. We're all born with a sinful nature. And Paul, again, in Romans 3:23, the Roman road, we know these verses very well, but he said in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every person that has ever walked the face of the earth, except Jesus Christ, has sinned. Every one of us. And every person that will be born later will be sinners in God's eyes. We're all guilty of not declaring the weight and the splendor and the brilliance and the preeminence and the majesty of God. It's because of our sin. And we fall short of this because of our sin. Our sin, guys, separates us from the ability to declare the glory of God. And as we've learned, as we've studied missions and looked at missions and understanding our world today, lostness and sinfulness is the greatest problem facing every person on earth. As Leslie talked about a couple of weeks ago, there are a lot of bad things happening in society, and they're bad, and we grieve over these things. The lawlessness, the poverty that we're seeing today, people having difficulty, natural disasters, all these things are bad, and they are bad, but they fell in comparison to a person being eternally lost and being eternally separated from God. Lostness is the greatest problem facing our world today. So how can we overcome this? Well, God in his mercy, God in his grace, sent a redeemer. Amen? A redeemer to rescue all people from all nations. God promised a redeemer. Go ahead and go to that next. There you go. So we know that God chose to reveal himself to one man. Who was that man? Abraham. We're studying about him in Sunday school right now. If you will, turn over to Genesis chapter 12. We're seeing the hope and grace of God begin to come on the scene here. Genesis 12, look at verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house, into the land that I will show you." What did he say? "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Notice that promise. All people will be blessed through you, Abraham. So God chose to reveal himself to one man, Abraham. What did he promise to Abraham? He promised him the promised land, right? Canaan. God assures Abraham that he will give him and his descendants the land of Canaan, and that promise signified the establishment of a homeland for this future nation of Israel. What else did he say would happen with Abraham? He said, "You're going to be the father of a great nation of people." God promises to make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And this promise assures the multiplication and growth of Abraham's offspring. But not only that, God said Abraham would be a blessing, right? God promises to bless Abraham and his offspring. He will bless those who bless Abraham. He will curse those who curse him. And then notice God also promises to bless all nations through Abraham and his offspring. But what happened? This great nation rebelled, right? This great nation rebelled. Go ahead and go to that next one, if you will. The great nation of Israel rebelled, and even though God established a covenant with Israel, they didn't follow his plans. They didn't worship him appropriately. But God is a faithful God. He keeps his promises, right? He would still use them to be a blessing to other nations because God's promises do not fail. His mission will go forth. So God sent a redeemer. And this redeemer came years later through the same nation, Israel, right? God sent his son who did keep his covenant completely. Amen. And remember what Genesis 12:3 said? Let's read it again. He said, "I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who treat you with contempt." And notice, again, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples means all peoples. Not just some people, not just an exclusive people. He said, you will be a blessing unto everyone, all nations. And we know that ultimately Jesus died for the sins of the world. But this Redeemer came. He kept his covenant completely. Jesus never deviated from God's plan. He always glorified the Father, and he ultimately went to the cross to die for the sins of humanity. You see, here's the thing. Sin affects us all in a very powerful way. And because of sin, get this, guys, we cannot and we will not live intentionally for God's glory. It's not going to happen. But Jesus died so that our sins could be removed. Guys, he did for us what we can never do for ourselves. And so after Jesus died, he rose again, proving that he was God's gift to sinful humanity. And then what happened? He later ascended back into heaven, and then he sent his Holy Spirit to his followers. So we see the Redeemer coming. We see things becoming coming full circle. And then what do we see after this? Finally, we see God's mission is restored. God's mission is restored. We read in the book of Acts of the birth of the New Testament church, right? And remember what Jesus told his followers in Acts 1:4? He said, "Wait, right here. Wait in this place because the one that I've been promising is coming." Okay? Wait for the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus told them in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to what? The ends of the earth. We're beginning to see the glory of God once again coming to full circle again. And then later in Acts 2, what do we see? The Holy Spirit coming and entering the followers of Christ. And they spoke the word of God in different languages so that different nations could understand. Wow, amazing. As we read these things in the book of Acts, guys, we begin to see God's original plan being restored. We see God's original plan being restored. These new followers of Jesus, what did they do? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what? They gathered into churches, right? They gathered into churches. And they began to fulfill, once again, God's mission for His creation to worship Him and bring glory to Him. And they led others by sharing the gospel to do the same thing. God's glory is being declared once again because of this Redeemer coming in and saving us by grace through faith. And as the IMB website states, the New Testament makes it clear that the coming of Jesus and the global mission of the church are the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that through Jesus, who is a descendant of Abraham, all peoples of the world would be blessed. All peoples of the world would be blessed. God uses the nation of Israel to display His light and glory to Jesus Christ. Even though sin got in the way, even though the fall happened and sin entered the world, God provided a way through Jesus and through the filling of the Holy Spirit of His believers to declare the glory of God once again. And guess what, guys? Here's the thing, and something that we know very well. God's mission includes all of us, His church. We, all of us, now have the responsibility to proclaim the gospel and the glory of God to the nations. Sometimes this means we go to places where the name of Jesus is not being proclaimed. Sometimes this takes us to places that we had not planned to go. Places that were not on our radar that we need to go to. But sometimes God takes us to places like that. Again, as the IMB website says, God's people proclaim the good news of Jesus, the Savior, King of all peoples, that the good news invites people to turn from sin and lostness and turn to God by faith in Christ. Christ transforms them by the power of the Holy Spirit to live lives more and more pleasing to God. And as they follow Christ, God is glorified. And we join God in His mission to reach all nations as we make disciples of all people who live to praise the glory of God. So in other words, we proclaim and people receive Christ and they receive the Holy Spirit, and in return, they join in declaring the glory of God. It's multiplication. It's making disciples. So in Christ, guys, God is rescuing and restoring His people to live for His glory. This is how we see everything coming full circle. The Bible, it makes it very clear that God's mission is going to happen no matter what. And even though there was a deterrent, sin entering the world, God has still made a way for His glory to be declared among the nations. His original plan. And we know that one day His plan will come to a fulfillment. God's mission will be complete. We know this because of what Revelation 7:9 says. We already know what the outcome is going to be. John said, as God revealed this to him, he said, "And I looked, and there was a vast multitude of every nation and tribe, people, and language. No one could number standing before the throne, before the Lamb, worshiping every tongue, tribe, and nation. Every people group that has walked to the face of the earth will be in heaven one day, standing before the throne of God, worshiping together as the church of God together." And not going to just be people from St. Charles. It's going to be people from every place on the face of the earth. Because God's glory is being declared among the nations. At this time, individuals from every people group on the face of the earth will worship around the throne, giving glory to God that he deserves. You and I are part of that plan. We are the body of Christ. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're his voice. That's why we're called the body of Christ. It's not just some really neat thing that's in the Bible that they've come up with. We're actually the body of Christ. We're his hands and feet. He's not physically here anymore, but we have his spirit that indwells us. We've been indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and continue the work, and he wants to use us. And as we close this morning, I want us to have a time of prayer. This can be different today, but just hang with me. Andrew, I'm just going to have you come. I'm just going to have you play quietly. We're not going to sing. I kind of put this on here at the last minute. But I want us to have a time of prayer this morning. First of all, maybe your prayer needs to be your initial commitment to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Maybe that's the first step for you. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you're not part of God's plan to make his name known among the nations. In fact, you'll be eternally separated from him for all eternity. And so maybe the first step for you is to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And in order to do that, here's what you need to do. We talk about it every week, right? This is not anything you don't already know, okay? And we're going to continue to share the gospel each week because that's the most important thing. If you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus, here's what you need to do. First of all, admit you're a sinner. That's for your own benefit. God already knows your heart. He already knows you're a sinner. You're not pulling one over on him. It's for your own benefit. But beyond admitting, you need to ask forgiveness and turn away from that sin. You're going one way and you're going to repent and go the other way. Ask for forgiveness and then you're going to believe in what Jesus has done for you. He did come from heaven. He did live a sinless life. He did go to the cross. He did die. He was buried, but he rose again. All those things happened. And then finally, commit your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Make that commitment. Lord, come in my life, forgive me of my sin, be my Savior, but also be my Lord. That means I'm going to follow you. You're going to be my boss from now on. So during our time of prayer, I want you to make that commitment to him if you need to. Pray and ask God to be your Lord and Savior, and let your prayer be from your heart. But for the rest of us, here's what I want you to do as you pray silently, as Andrew plays quietly. And there's some prayer points that I want to leave up on the screen, things that you can refer to as you pray. I want you to make a commitment to be a person who is actively proclaiming the name of Jesus among the nations. Ask the Lord to give you a burden for those who are lost. Ask God how he wants you to be involved in his plan of redemption. Ask him how he wants you to be involved in his mission. And then pray for those that the Lord is bringing to your mind, those people that the Lord continually puts upon your heart and in your mind that need to hear the gospel. Pray that their eyes and their hearts would be open and that God will give you the opportunity to share the good news with them. And then ask the Lord of the harvest. This is what Jesus said to do, remember? Ask the Lord of the harvest to allow our church to send out more harvesters into the nations to declare the glory, the gospel, and the glory of God. Ask God to do that through us. And then ask the Lord of the harvest to send more harvesters to our church to be involved in God's redemptive plan here. So we're going to have just a time of prayer. I'm still going to come down to the front. If you need to come talk to me, as Andrew plays quietly, please do. We'll talk about whatever it is you need to talk about. If there's another decision you need to make, you can fill out the Connect card in front of you or go online and fill out the Connect card there. Let me know what's going on. I'll contact you this week and we'll get down to business and what God is teaching you and helping you understand. But I want us to be a people of prayer this morning. I want us to make these commitments. So Andrew's going to play quietly as he does. you spend some time in prayer for these things, whether to pray to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior or to make the commitments that are here on the screen. Let's take some time to do that now. And then when I feel the time is right, I'll close this in prayer and we'll move on.